Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is from Elder LaShawn McCleary, calling all gap dwellers.
Amen. Let's get into this word. I'm excited about it. Turn in your word. We have two correlating scriptures. St. John 14, 10 through 13, get that, and put your finger on 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 11. St. John 14, 10 through 13, and 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 11. If you have need a Bible, we have Bibles here for you to borrow while you're here. Can't take them home. Please return before you leave. I don't know about you, but I just feel good. I feel like God is doing something even now. If he is, don't resist it. Just let it happen. There are generational curses that are being broken right now in the silence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because he has deliverance on his mind. He has deliverance on his mind. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, do what you want to do. Say what you want to say. Heal, deliver. Set people free this morning. We will step out of your way. We will not grieve the Spirit. I pray in the name of Jesus that everything your people need this morning, even things they don't know they need, will be met. Amen. Amen. John 14, 10 through 13. When you have the word, say, I have the word. Thank you. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do. Wow. Because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 7 through 11. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Someone say, I'm not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. The life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. Greater works than these would you do. For we who live are always delivered to the death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal bodies. God, thank you for the word that you've sown in my heart to teach. I decrease now, God, and I ask you, Lord, to speak to your people. Holy Spirit, connect the word to the hearts of your people, that they don't see a person with a microphone, that everything else around them fades, God. They open their hearts to you and your word, Father, and deliverance flows, God. He who searches the heart, search the heart, Father, and bring to it exactly what it needs to be healed, to be delivered, to be whole this morning, because there's a war going on, God. And you need your soldiers. You need us. You need us to be whole. You need us to be delivered. For how can a man deliver someone when they're in the hospital bed beside them? So, God, I pray and I ask, Lord, that you decrease me, Lord God, and Holy Spirit, you arise in this place. Speak and do whatever you want to say and do, Father. I humbly submit to you, your authority. For the sake of your people. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The title of my message today is Calling All Gap Dwellers. Calling All Gap Dwellers. And as we go on, I pray that the title will become clearer. It should become clearer pretty quickly. So, definitions. Gap dwelling is interceding. We know that Jesus was the ultimate gap dweller. He was the ultimate intercessor between us and God and us and the enemy. But what is intercession? Because a lot of people think intercession is praying. But as I'm teaching the kids upstairs, there's a difference between praying and interceding. Praying is communicating with God. We talk to God. He talks to us. We tell him what's on our heart. He talks back to us. But intercession is, I told them, it's a specialized form of prayer. It's when you are intervening on another's behalf. So the prayers become less and less about you and more about God's people, right? So it's the act of intervening on another's behalf. When I looked it up in the Prophet's Dictionary, it says to interpose oneself between two parties in difficulties or crisis, usually by prayer, but also by means of aid and mediation. Usually by prayer, but also by means of aid, arbitration, and mediation. And so when we are interceding, remember there's a war going on, right? So when we are in the mode of interceding, we are saying we are putting ourselves between the people and whatever's trying to get to them, right? We are putting ourselves in the line of fire, and we're saying, you can't have them. You can't do it. I won't let you. I will not allow this to happen. That is intercession. So some people may say, well, I don't pray real good in front of people, or, you know, I get nervous. Intercession is anytime you put yourself between man, God's people, and whatever's trying to get to them. Okay, and we're going to see two positions. There's two gaps. The first gap is, where's Jeremiah? Get up. Come here. Thought he was going to sleep in church, but he's not sleeping today. Go ahead. And where's my other child? Come here, baby. And Kendall, come here. They didn't know I was going to use them, but they're going to be used today. All right. Jeremiah, you get over there. Eli, you stand right here. Kendall, you're in the middle. Thank you. Kendall is the person that needs intercession. Okay? She may not know what she needs. She might. Okay? On this side, we have God's provisions. We might have God's judgments. We might have God about to turn a furrow off somebody. Or we may have God that needs to deliver somebody, okay? On this side, we have, you're not the devil, but you're just representing him today. We have the enemy who has plans, who has schemes, who has things that he wants to accomplish. So as the intercessor, here's my job. No. You can't, right? As the intercessor, here's my job. God, please help her, deliver her, give her grace, God. I know that you're tired of it, but God, please give her another chance. Don't let what she's into consume her, God. Or, God, she needs a blessing. She needs the healing. So I'm either petitioning God on someone else's behalf, or I'm standing over here and saying no more. Both are acts of intercession. Does that make sense? Awesome. You guys can sit down. Good job. It is the duty of every believer or Christian to represent Christ in the earth or represent his works. He said that he was going, that those of us that loved him, that followed his word, that greater works would we do than he did on earth. We are his ambassadors, and as such, it is our duty to represent to the world the things that he did as the ultimate intercessor, mediator, or go-between. Our word tells us in Romans 8 and 22 that the whole world is waiting for us. In fact, it is groaning and moaning and desperate for us to show ourselves. Why? Why? We are just people, right? Why would it be desperate? Is it because we're so great and wonderful? Is it because we have these great gifts? Is it because we have money or drive a nice car? No. It's because we have within ourselves this treasure in earthen vessels. What is this treasure? Well, it says the excellence of the power that may be of God and not of us. That's what they're looking for. That's what they're looking for. So when they're attracted to you, or when they seem like they are pursuing you, not in that kind of way, but they're attracted to you, they want to talk to you, they want to be your friend, they want to be in your presence, it's not because of you or your gifts or how great you are, or how pretty you are, or how handsome you are, or how much you work out. It's because they're drawn to what's in us, the power that is in us. The power that is not of us. Amen. It was Jesus who healed the lepers when he knew only one would come back and thank him. Luke 17. It was Jesus who called Lazarus from his smelly grave in John 11. It was the virtue of Jesus that healed a woman with an issue of blood as she reached out and touched him in the crowd. John 9. So when they're trying to get close to touch us, they're really not trying to get to us. They're trying to get to what's inside of us, this treasure that we have in earthen vessels, this treasure that we have in earthen vessels. In fact, the Bible says in John 21 and 25 that Jesus did so many miracles that there was not enough books to record what he did in 3 years. That means Jesus did so much in 3 years that they didn't even have enough scribes and enough paper and enough books to record them. But we're supposed to be doing greater. We're supposed to be doing greater. And my question is, what's being recorded for us? What is being recorded that we have done, that we have produced, whereas the fruit of our labor, because we have it, it's in us, but what are we doing with what's in us? What are we doing with all this power that we have? What are we doing with all this anointing that we have? What are we doing with the Jesus that we have inside of us? Because there's a war going on, and we need to be doing something with it. This power is not in us to make us feel good, or to puff us up, to make us get over our next hill, get over our next obstacle. There's a war going on. There's a war going on. And if Jesus did so many miracles that they could not record all of them, we should be doing so many miracles that CNN wouldn't have enough time in the day to tell it all. We should be doing so many miracles that the foolishness that they want to put on TV, they would have to cancel that show. They would have to cancel that show. They would have to cancel that show to talk about what the church is doing. But God told us in another season that he is eliminating all the competition in the earth for his presence. That he's bringing all worldly systems down that the church could arise. But when we arise, we have to come knowing that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And it's our responsibility to use it for God's will. Amen? Amen. We have it twisted if we believe that they're groaning for us. They're groaning for Christ. They're groaning for Christ, and we are the in-between right now. They're groaning for Christ, and we are the in-between. They want and they need all that comes with him. They need deliverance. They need truth. They need wisdom. They need love. They need acceptance. They need all those things that Christ offers that we say is inside of us. But when they come, they're looking for power. They're not looking for fakeness. They're not looking for hypocrisy. They're not looking for gifts. Your gift kind of help draws them, but that's really not what they're looking for. Like you have charisma, and they're drawn to the charisma, but that's really not what they're looking for. They're looking for God. And if truth be told, we can only pour out what's inside of us. And so if we're struggling to read our Bible for 15 minutes a day, how much do we have to pour out? If we can't pray, like really pray, not that I lay me down to sleep, I praise the Lord, sort of keep. If we are not really praying and spending time in our closet, how much do we have to pour out to the world? And in that case, what's going on with the war? And how are we going to get them delivered if we are bound up, busted, and disgusted ourselves? There is a war going on. They know that there is something inside of us, people of God. Something that we ourselves sometimes we take for granted, like when we come to church and the Spirit is high and we sit there on cruise. We take for granted that the Holy Spirit is here and that He's ready to deliver us. We take for granted that we can come into this place, we can hear and see and feel God in this place, and we can come on cruise. But they're looking for something that's inside of us that we ourselves sometimes take for granted. The power of God that we take for granted, the anointing that we take for granted. And they said they need something that will cause them to live again. They're coming to us because they need healing from their brokenness. They're coming to us because they need mending for their marriages. They're coming to us because they are depressed and they need someone that can get a prayer through. Not, oh yeah, I'm gonna pray for you and forget about it the next day. But they need someone who is willing to be the mediator between them and what they need. And what they need is in Christ. So if I have to stand between you and God, and me and God have to do one-on-one for 41 days, for 25 days, for 2 months, so that you can get what you need, then that's what it's gonna have to be, because there's a war going on. And I don't know if you're gonna survive this depression if I don't do what I'm supposed to do. Psychologists say that the more people are witness to a thing, the less each of them feels the responsibility to act. Psychologists say the more people who are witnessing a thing, the less each of them feels the responsibility to act. I remember there was a report on TV. And there was a case of road rage, and this woman had cut a man off and had followed her until she was stuck on a bridge. And he had gotten out with a crowbar and was banging on her window with a crowbar, right? Big, huge man, little woman. People were getting out of their cars. They said about 50 people had gotten out of their cars and was watching. The man busted the window, drug the woman out of her car, beat her to death, and threw her over the bridge with 50 people watching. A man who is verbally abusing his girlfriend goes into the apartment, drags her out of the apartment into the parking lot where there are about 10 to 15 people coming home for the day, and proceeds to stomp her to death for about 30 minutes while they all stood there and watched. And we look and we say, man, no one did anything. All those people, they could have jumped him. They could have stopped him. I mean, he might have got a whack in on somebody with a crowbar. All them people. But we pass by our coworkers. We've given up on our uncles and our fathers and our mothers. And we say, let that person handle them. Let my mom deal with my dad. Let my dad deal with my mom. Let my sisters deal with themselves. Let my coworkers get themselves together. I'm over here. I'm good. And all of the time, we are witnessing the destruction of people in front of our eyes. And we can't pray for 20 minutes? There's too much going on in our lives that we can't pray. We can't intercede. We can't say, God, help them. You cannot pray for 1 hour? Help us, God. Because there's a war going on. There's a war going on, and people are getting taken out of here at a rapid, rapid pace. These attacks are not happenstance. The enemy knows his time is almost up. So before those souls have a chance to make the decision for Christ, I'm going to send someone with a machine gun to shoot into a crowd of thousands of people. So their chances are over. But we're sitting here casual. When I first started teaching, there were so many, and any teacher would tell you that when you teach children, that you have so many, there's so many different battlefronts. That's why if you're not called to teach, you should stay out of it. Don't mess up nobody's kids because you want summers off. That's why we need our summers off, because we need to regroup. You go, my first year of teaching, I think I cried at least once a week. Because there are so many battlefronts going on at one time. And if you are in any kind of tune with the Lord, with the Spirit, you will feel those. And this one's coming to school and he's hungry. He hasn't eaten all weekend, but he's going to cut up today because he's distracted. And that one, his mom put him on medicine too early, and now she didn't give him his medicine today. So everything, all the things that was keeping his little chemicals in balance are gone, and he's going to cut up. And that one's going to try to bite you today because they can't help it. This one cusses because that's what they see at home. This one's not going to try at all, not even going to put their name on the paper, not because they're lazy, because they have given up hope. And you are hit with that every single day. And what do you do? You say, well, that's their mama need to get a hold of them. I'm gonna call their mama. I have one student, I promised him I would never call his mom again, no matter how bad he acted. Promised him. Because one time I called her, she tore his little emotions and self-esteem apart so bad. I felt awkward standing there. She said, well, this is my bad son. This is my black sheep. And my other one, the light-skinned one, he's the good son. This is my bad son because he takes after his father. He's standing there. And you want to know why there's a battle going on? There's a battle going on. And it is not the time to leave it to someone else. It is not the time to leave it to someone else because we are the gap dwellers. We are the ones that are equipped. We are the ones with this treasure in earthen vessels. What is that treasure? It's the power. It's the anointing. It's the power to break yokes, to break chains. And we have it in us. And we're walking it by people every single day. We're walking it by people every single day. And we're leaving it to other people. It's their responsibility. It's Pastor Lawrence and Pastor Kim's responsibility. Let them deal with it. Let them get a meeting. Wait for the meeting, then get delivered. We have failed to realize that there's a war going on. And if we have realized that, we have failed to act. The sad indictment is when they come to us, they find our flesh, this corruptible flesh. So they come to us seeking God, the God that's in us, and they leave wanting and disappointed because all we give them is our flesh, which on our best days will always disappoint compared to all that is God. On our best days, all that we can give them of ourselves, all of our talents, our money, it's going to cause them to leave wanting because it pales. It pales in comparison to all that they could get if we gave them God. We give them our gifts. We give them what we think in our logic, and they are looking for the power. The gifts of God are without repentance, but the power and the anointing of God are for those who are willing to pay the price of the light afflictions to be able to carry that kind of glory. It's the gifts of God, the things that we try to give people to show them that we're spiritual. It's the gifts of God. Those are without repentance. You'll be able to operate in those, do your thing. But it's the power and the anointing of God that doesn't come for free. The power and the anointing of God comes from only for those who are willing to pay the price for those light afflictions to be able to carry that kind of glory. I think about the disciples who were walking down the street, and everywhere their shadow fell, people were healed. What kind of power and anointing? They didn't even have to say a word. They just, their shadow just fell on people. And where it fell on people, people were healed, people were delivered. But we want people to know our name. We want them to know and give us credit for the deliverance that they have. What kind of glory, what kind of power? Because the Bible tells us that he saved a special kind of anointing and power for the Latter-day Church. There's something peculiar and different. There's something a little bit more edgy. There's something a little bit more radical. There's something a little bit more powerful that's available to us. But them light afflictions. I can't do that. I can't say that. I can't go there. I can't eat that. I can't watch that. Light afflictions. People aren't going to like me. I'm going to be rejected by my brothers. Light afflictions. Don't feel light in the moment. But the Bible tells us that we can call them light on this side, because when we get to the other side, it's not going to be worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. We want the glory. How many of us sign up for those afflictions? By his stripes, we are healed. Because God took stripes on his back, we are healed. We were healed. How many people would sign up for some stripes? Literal stripes, spiritual stripes, emotional stripes. So God sent Christ as the mediator, and now that he is with the Father, the job of dwelling in the gaps falls to those intercessors. I call them gap dwellers, because when you are an intercessor, it can happen at any moment. You're going to have to step into a gap at any moment. It's kind of like when you watch a football game, and the running back, it looks like there's nothing there, and then he hits the gap, and then he gets like 10 yards. You're like, oh my God, he hit that gap. Did you see how he hit that gap? We are the gap dwellers. We are the ones that are able to hit them gaps and get God's agenda accomplished. Amen? To be God's intercessors, we must, let's get to them points. Number one, have a relationship with God that allows us to boldly come before him. I was joking around with Ben because I was reading about Abraham and Moses. And God was like, I'm done. Done with Sodom. Get on my nerves. Stinking attitudes. Filth. Dirt. Abraham was like, whoa, wait a minute. I'm just saying. There's some righteous people there too. So I'm just saying, like, what if there's like 50? Are you going to judge the righteous with the unrighteous, God? God was like, all right. If there's 50 people there, I'm going to spare the city. Yeah, like if there's 45 people there, I mean, I'm just saying, like, there's 45 people there, God. That's enough righteousness. All right. There's 45 people there, but Abraham, I'm going to spare the city. Yeah, for real. Like, if there's 30 people there, God, yo, like, you got to spare the city, God, because there's 30 righteous people living there. I mean, come on. Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah, for real. Like 10 people. Like, I think 10's a good number. You know what I'm saying? The God of the universe, you sitting up here negotiating Like God said, I looked for a man to stand in the gap. Didn't find one. So the city was destroyed.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message, or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.